Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode taking you through this Monday morning. And Joe, we're pleased to bring on one of our very good friends of the show, Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. Corey, what's going on, my friend?
Oh, just making breakfast for the troops, guys.
How there you go. Very nice. That's super dad right there.
What are we making here?
Well, this morning we're having bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches and yogurt parfaits.
Oh, we should go to Corey's house. That's very nice. Well done, Corey. Good job.
Breakfast is my meal.
That's right. Sounds good. Well, Corey, we're going to talk about the Titans and get to that here in just a second. But first, I do want to get your initial reaction to game one from the Predators yesterday and what your reaction was to the loss to the Arizona Coyotes and the way that they played.
Well, I don't want to overreact because I overreacted to the exhibition game, which was my mistake. You know, I read too much into how well they played into that one, and I always say you're never as good as you are on your best day and never as bad as you are on your worst. So that's where I start. But the other thing that's troubling is, you know, that's the inconsistency that we saw a lot during the season, where they didn't show up for three periods. And I know the first goal was fluky, and they didn't handle it very well. So you hope that's just the case, and they can get off the deck. So I'm not going to overreact. I still think they're a better team. You know, they still got to win three games. They can still do it. But, you know, it's troubling to see them not play three periods.
I mean, Corey, we're all about overreacting here. Let's overreact, buddy. Will they ever win again? That's the theme of the show today.
You know what? If they don't win tomorrow, they may not.
It does happen fast in these five-game series. What do you think of just the scene? You know, watching these games and even the NBA games too. What do you think of?
I think
what they've
all
done?
All the leagues have done a really good job on the television end of broadcasting these games and not having it be weird. And especially the NHL. I mean, because I remember I watched the exhibition game Thursday, and I didn't notice there weren't any fans until there were about 2 minutes left in the game. And I know that that's shameful, but that's just reality. I was like, oh, wow, there aren't any fans. I didn't even think about it. Because I think, you know, covering the seats was important, so you don't see all these empty seats and whatever ambient noise that they're pumping into each one of these games, you know, I think helps as well. But I also think the action, you know, drives your eyes. And if the action is good and the intensity is good and the competition is good, that's what will drive the entertainment value, you know. And so I think that they've all done – I think the players have done a good job, and I think leagues have done a good job with it so far. And it hasn't bothered me as much as I thought it would.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us. And, Corey, what have you made of the Vic Beasley situation going on with the Titans?
Gosh.
Did not report last week. It was – a lot of people were talking about it here. Still has not yet reported, even though training camp is much different this year than – it normally is. We all know that. What have you made of this Vic Beasley situation?
Look, I always say information is your friend. So, you know, for Vic Beasley and for the Titans, you know, not having the information isn't good. It doesn't help because all it leads us to do is what? Speculate. And, you know, and also if there's no information out, it leads you to believe you're hiding something or the news isn't good. Because you would think if it was, you know, because it's an unexcused absence, we know that. And if it was an excused absence, you know, they would just say, yeah, he's dealing with some family stuff or something. But to just hear that he knows it's unexcused and he said he'll be here in a few days, and it's beyond a few days. It's 6 days. It's $300,000 in fines. This team just gave him $9.5 million, $6 million to sign. And I believe COVID was around when he signed that deal. So, you know, and look, I understand he may not have known what it was then, what it is now, but he hasn't opted out yet. And to me now, you know, he can still opt out and get a break, you know, still get his salary and still get an accrued year. And, you know, to me, if I were the Titans and if I could cut ties now, I would seriously be thinking about it because, I mean, you only get one chance to make a first impression, and this first impression is terrible.
Well, like you said, nothing at all wrong with opting out or being uncertain, being worried about long-term effects, you know, whatever it is.
But we haven't heard that that's
right,
the case.
Right, like there's definitely something wrong with not communicating. It's just hard, no matter what the situation is, hard to understand.
If you guys were having a hard time coming into the 102.5 studios and weren't necessarily said, you know, thought you needed some time to think about it, would you call your boss or would you just not show up?
Probably call.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably wouldn't work out well otherwise.
Yeah. It's probably a good protocol, whether you're a football player, a radio host, president of the United States, or the spry guy at McDonald's. You got to call if you're not going to be there.
So, since you mentioned how we were forced to speculate, let's do some more speculating. Now, if this does turn out that, you know, Vic Beasley's not a part of this team, what's your outlook on, one, what they have at that position? I mean, he was their big signing of the offseason. This is their primary free agent signing. And then the well-worn topic of what they might do.
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, all this does is drive up Jadeveon Clowney's price. I mean, he has way more negotiating power with the Titans now because now they're in a spot. We all knew their pass rush wasn't strong enough before. And so not only is Vic Beasley not here, they traded away Jarrell Casey. So now they're down two pass rushers. You know, you've got Landry, you've got Correa coming back, you got Roberson coming back, you got Reggie Gilbert coming back. You know, that's fine. But, you know, you're talking about competing with Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. You know, you need to get after these guys. And so, to me, you needed Beasley and Clowney if you want to get to the big one. And so to not have either of them at this point would be a catastrophic, massive loss. Because when you look at that defense, which was pretty good last year, you're minus Casey. You're minus Logan Ryan. You're minus Dean Pease. You're minus Kerry Combs. You're minus, minus, minus. And the only thing you've added is a second-round pick who's completely unproven at this point.
Corey, obviously when Major League Baseball came back, we knew in a non-bubble environment there may be a chance, not even a chance, we knew it was going to happen. COVID-19 was going to show up at some point, and it has with the Marlins and the Cardinals and the Phillies all over the place in the MLB with games being canceled. Has that impacted at all your view on what this NFL season may look like once it gets fired up?
It has. It has because the bubbles are working. And the non-bubble that we've got isn't. And it makes me very concerned that they're going to be able to pull it off because it's even more guys. I mean, it's double the guys, triple the guys from baseball, and you're sending them home. And, you know, you can keep St. Thomas Sports Park as clean as you want and keep these guys as socially distant as you want. You know, they're going home. You know, they've got families who have to go shopping, kids who may or may not go to school, may or may not play with friends. They may or may not go out to restaurants or bars or whatever, no matter what the rules are. I think what the NFL and what Major League Baseball need to do is they need to have 32 bubbles, and they need to have each, like the Titans need to have their whole team over at St. Thomas Sports Park. I mean, not St. Thomas Sports Park, over at like Maxwell House for the year. For the football season, and have those guys, you know, all there. And I know that's a massive sacrifice to ask them to make. They make a lot of money, and it's your choice. You can do that, or you could opt out. That would be the way that I would try to do it, because I think they're going to struggle. And I hope I'm wrong. I do. I hope I'm wrong. But watching baseball just a week or two into the season, you know, I have real concerns that, you know, we're going to lose a bunch of games because you know, the Giants offensive line just got wiped out, or all the quarterbacks for the Seahawks are out this week for the next 2 weeks or whatever. You know, hopefully football's learning something from it and they find a way to prevent it, but it does make me much more concerned.
Yeah, look, I mean, I'm all for trashing Rob Manfred, okay, but I think there are just some realities. And baseball is a little different than football because they're traveling so much. Every 3 days you're going to, you know, that's a little different. But, I mean, you look around here at some of the stuff, these like Rona party buses or whatever, and just, I mean, people are just don't give a crap. And it's hard for me to believe that it's not going to trickle into the local professional football team. And then there's other areas too. It's going to be a mess.
There are people who care about, you know, the spread and, you know, aren't just worried about themselves. And then there are people who don't. And, you know, and I'm not going to say that's fine, but that's just reality. And if that's the way it is in everyday life, that's the way it's going to be in the NFL and in Major League Baseball, because people are people. And, you know, that's never going to change. Now, hopefully, you know, even those that don't really care about their teammates and care about what their teammates are saying. Because, you know, Ryan Tannehill talked about it the other day. You know, he said the word twice, I think, sacrifice, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take sacrifice from guys. Guys are going to have to understand it can't be just what I want this year. It's got to be about getting to the finish line and making hard decisions and hard sacrifices to get to the finish line. You know, I may want my boys staying with me, but they can't this year. You know, that's just the way it is. I may want to go out and celebrate a win, but I can't this year. I just got to pack it in. And we'll see how they do. I mean, look, there's going to be outbreaks. There's no way there aren't going to be. I hope I'm wrong, but I just can't imagine that there won't be.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Corey, thanks as always, my friend, for joining us. And enjoy that breakfast you're making. Sounds wonderful.
The bacon sizzling away in front of me.
There you go. That's a perfect morning right there. Corey Curtis, ladies and gentlemen, from News 2 here in Nashville. When we come back, we're going to get into a little bit of what Corey had to say there regarding the Titans. Also talk about their defensive coordinator spot as well. That's next. This is Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson taking you through this Monday morning.
Do you have any Amish paradise that we can rock a little bit later, maybe?
No.
No?
I don't.
What?
I actually
not
don't.
A Weird
not
Al
on
fan?
The list over there?
No, it's a good Weird Al song. White Nerdy is probably my favorite Weird Al song, but, you know.
What's that a takeoff of?
It's Riding Dirty by Chameleonaire.
White Nerdy, right.
White
right.
Nerdy. That is probably his greatest work. But
well, Eat It might be his greatest work.
Eat It's good,
you
too.
You know an underrated Weird Al is Gump? Remember the song Lump? Jay's Lump, he's Gump. Yeah. That's underrated.
Gangster Paradise. I love that song. That's the most underrated musical performance by that dude who sings the chorus of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Most underrated version.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like the unsung heroes of songs. Of, like, that artist that you don't know about.
Right.
Like, the girl that sings the part of Good Vibration for Marky Mark. That is just amazing work. But we just don't. They go underutilized we're so focused on Coolio and Marky Mark. But
just belting it out in there, though.
Exactly.
Do we know who it is?
No
clue.
But that's the point.
You can probably find out.
No,
though,
no,
right?
But no, no.
That takes the luster away from it.
You don't want to know.
We don't want to know. The point is the unsung heroes of the song. That chorus makes the song. No one cares about what Coolio's talking about in this song.
Yeah.
I don't even think people know the words to what Coolio's actually saying in that song. Their only focus is on the chorus.
Well, I got to look it up. But if you don't want me to tell you who it is, I won't.
No, don't.
Okay.
I probably already know, but just don't.
It's like the song Rockwell. Somebody's watching me.
Yeah,
don't need 80s fans.
Yeah, it's Michael Jackson.
Don't need any of your capital J journalism right now, Joe. We don't need to know who it is.
We don't. We don't need to know who sings the chorus.
Michael Jackson, baby.
We don't need to know who sings the chorus for Good Vibration for Marky Mark, and we don't need to know who sings the chorus for Gangster's Paradise by Coolio. We just don't. This is just unsung heroes, Joe. Just let them be unsung
heroes.
Or
in this case, sung heroes.
Yeah, let's sing the heroes.
No.
I'm finding out, but I won't tell you.
Joe, what's your reaction there to we had Corey Curtis on from News 2 in the last segment, and we were talking about kind of the NFL situation they have right now, because I watch what happens or what has happened in Major League Baseball with the Cardinals and the Marlins and the Phillies and everything going on with the COVID-19 outbreak in Major League Baseball right now. And it makes me think about the NFL. If this is happening with Major League Baseball, where theoretically, like, you're not supposed to be touching each other, like around each other all that closely. The NFL, that's what football is. You're very close to other people. You're around each other all the time. The quarterback, unless you're in the shotgun every play, is like literally under the center's butt. So like there's a lot of touching going on, a whole lot of contact. The more I watch this unfold with the MLB, the more I wonder, like, what is the NFL going to look like? What's going to happen when, like, an outbreak happens with a team and, like, 30 guys can't go in a given week? Like, we're just going to ask them to play that week? Like, there's just – I foresee a lot of issues with the NFL this season that I don't have the answer for. I don't know whether or not Roger Goodell and the NFL have an answer for, and it's going to be really interesting to monitor because it makes me very nervous about – the ability for the NFL to finish this season with some sort of competitive integrity.
Yeah. I mean, baseball is canceling games left and right. And again, like we talked about last segment, they got games every day and they're traveling all the time, every 3 days or whatever, every 6 days, teams are flying out, going. I mean, so they have a lot more opportunity to pick up the virus than the NFL will. You hope during a given week that I know, again, like Corey said, Titans have done a good job with their bubble, but they're not living there. So there's a limitation to that. But still, if you have that in good shape, and if you can count on your whole roster to just work home.
There's some big ifs.
Yeah. But I mean, like, at least, like in baseball, you're just automatically exposed all the time because you're constantly traveling and playing games.
Right.
So from that perspective, the NFL has an advantage on that. But yeah, you will still have outbreaks. And then how much does it take to actually zap a game? Obviously, the NFL, I mean, you know, 16 games. Even baseball in this reduced schedule is supposed to be 60. NFL, 16 games. And then what happens if you have a team that plays 14 and another team that plays 11? I think that's certainly possible. I think the NFL is going to go to extreme lengths to make it possible to play these games even when you do have the outbreaks. And I think you're definitely going to see that some too. You're going to see games played still, and one side basically has an XFL team going right against an NFL team, but you played the game. I just don't see, given how people, I think a lot of people have selfishly just given up on the whole thing, and they're just going to do their normal stuff. I don't see how things look any better in, you know, September, yep, October. I hope I'm wrong.
Got a text in on the text line from Ben that says, I'll join the bandwagon rooting against sports and say that I don't think the NFL should try without a bubble of some sort. Imagine when someone's family member gets sick or dies because a player got it and gave it to them. So, I mean, that's certainly a point in this situation with the NFL you've got to think about, which is why I think some guys are opting out, because they don't want to put their family at risk. I know Nate Solder opted out. I mean, his son has cancer. Like, so obviously,
yeah, you're going to argue with that, right,
at risk at that point. And I think he also is a cancer survivor. So certainly understand that. A lot of guys making that decision. But what does happen? Like, what happens if, God forbid, a player gives COVID to their family member and they get really sick from it? Like, that's going to be something that, like, how do you keep playing at that point? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, the people who want to just blow all this off talk about, show me the young athlete who has died, which hopefully doesn't happen, but it is much more than that. Taking it to someone else. There's also, again, the long-term effects. There are studies, and look, The problem with the virus, think back to March, people acting like they knew what the hell they were talking about then.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about non-scientists, just saying stupid crap for months now. Scientists still are, people are like, oh, this scientist, Fauci was wrong. Yeah, no kidding. They're wrong all the time, but who are you going to listen to? I'm still listening to the people who do this for a living, who spent their lives trying to study diseases. We still don't know a lot about it. There's still studies about lung capacity, about heart effects that are lingering after, I think, some people have the virus. The problem with this is the virus affects different people differently.
Right.
So it's just, it's a mess, and it really hurts when people want to just talk about death with the virus. That's not the only thing here. And the person playing the sport is not the only person who could be affected. I don't know why this is so hard for people to wrap their minds around, but here we are.
When we come back, the NFL may be attempting to move the opt-out deadline date, and there's at least one player in the NFL that has a gigantic problem with that. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period, mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked about how many guys have opted out. But it's the same thing when we sign a CBA. Sometimes some of those things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked in long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league has changed that date. Because you guys know Monday will be our first day in the building. So to try to act like guys are making a decision about something other than virtual meetings is a joke. But I think it's something that we go through as players. And when players understand how much power we have, we've seen things change for us. I mean, primarily even with this deal, with the COVID-19, and trying to get everything back, we saw some of that strength. So hopefully we'll see how everything turns out come Wednesday if that ends up being the deadline. But I support the guys no matter what they decide. But I'm still out here having fun and figuring things out. So we'll see how we go.
That was Devin McCourty from the New England Patriots talking about the NFL potentially moving the opt-out date to Wednesday. Welcome back into Morning Drive, Robbie Stanley, alongside Joe Rexroad. Joe, I can tell you're already fired up about it.
Well, good for Devin McCourty, for one thing, and Jason McCourty was a real joy to cover here. Those guys have a great podcast and an important voice, and it is BS. I mean, the opt-out deadline was supposed to be a week after the CBA is signed,
right,
which hasn't happened, and so there is no reason to change that. That's exactly what it should be. You get the CBA signed. Now you have a week to consider. This, to me, looks like the NFL panicking and seeing what's happening in baseball and seeing all these guys opt out and seeing people like Matthew Stafford and Gardner Minshew get COVID, or I shouldn't say get COVID-19. They're on the COVID-19 reserve list, which,
right,
again, could be getting it, could also mean that you are known to have been in contact with someone who had it. Either way, it's just already kind of blowing up, and it feels like they're just like, oh, my God, just move it up. Oh, you're done. Sorry. And it is BS.
Yeah, and it just, like, I get the NFL's thinking behind it from that standpoint in terms of, oh, my goodness, all these players are opting out. But either have the opt-out option or don't. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you've already kind of agreed to letting players make this decision a week after the CBA is signed, which, like you said, Joe, has not happened yet. And Devin McCourty, I mean, he's sitting there talking, maybe the only remaining person left on the New England Patriots defense. But you watch what's happening right now with MLB and, you know, the concerns that we talked about in the last segment with the NFL not being in a bubble. How could you really blame guys at this point for at least considering the option to opt out? I still don't think it's going to be all that prevalent in terms of opt outs. There's been a significant number so far, but
42.
Yeah, but 42? You're talking league wide at that point. Like, it's sure, not like there's been this, you know, just mass exodus of players trying to opt out at this point. So it's ridiculous to me that this is even being considered at this point. Get the CBA signed. let players make a week or have a week to make a decision after they've been in the building, after they've kind of seen firsthand how protocols and things might go. And who knows, maybe you get in there if you're a player, you see the way things are set up, you see the protocols in place, and you feel really good about it. Maybe you feel very comfortable with it, and you just want to play. But trying to move this opt-out date, I think, is just stupid.
Well, and there's more information that can come here. And so when you now set a hard deadline before it's signed, that, you know, there, things can change. Things can change in the world. Things can change locally. Things can change at your bubble, your facility, whatever it is. You're not taking that away from them to be able to digest that and add new information to their decision. There's, I'm sure there are some guys who are on the fence about this. And I'm with you. I don't think it's going to end up being this massive thing. I will say that if I'm correct on 42, that's the last. I know at The Athletic we've got a running list, but it's around there. And I would say that probably some people are surprised it's that high. And again, if you're going to look at these guys and say, how could you possibly, you're a football player, you're a young athlete, you're going to be fine. It's not just about that. There are a lot of other considerations for people. So I think there are going to be more. I don't think it's going to be a huge, huge number.
Right.
But they should absolutely have the ability to take in the information and not be forced into something this week. I'm really interested to see if the NFL pushes this and goes through with this.
And the other part of this is, like, you know, I think yesterday it was announced that Doug Peterson, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, tested positive for COVID-19. It's one thing when you start talking about, like you said, Joe, the players getting it who, you know, 23, 24, 25, on up to 40 years old in the NFL for the most part. Probably going to be okay. Probably going to be just fine. But you worry about the families involved. You worry about the coaches involved, too. Like, there's a lot of coaches in the NFL that are in their 60s, that are in their late 50s, maybe even early 70s. Like, what happens if, God forbid, one of those guys get it and they die from it? Like, those are the other part of the considerations that you have to take into account here as well. So it's not just the players on the field. Like, people are talking about college football as well. Like, the college kids will be fine. Yeah, they probably will. Like, if you're an Alabama fan, you probably don't want to see Nick Saban get coronavirus. Maybe he'll be fine, maybe he won't. But he's certainly in that high-risk age group in terms of what's out there and what we know about the virus so far. So there's more than just the players that have to go into consideration here. And, you know, the news coming out yesterday that Doug Peterson tested positive for the virus, I think just kind of highlights that.
Right. And then, like, the Titans, if you look specifically at the Titans, pretty young staff.
Right.
You know, Dean Pease was here last year. Of course, he's had some health stuff. He had to be taken to the hospital in Indianapolis, but he's someone who, you know, were he around, would be a high-risk guy. College programs, too. You got trainers, strength coaches. You got a lot of people that are around these teams, professional and college, who absolutely could be in the high-risk group. So it is just going to be a mess for sure. I think with the NFL, there's just if you don't have the bubble, and I don't know what you can really do now other than what Corey was talking about, you know, trying to keep guys. I mean, Mike Vrabel was asked that question, I think, in his opening day press conference, which was, what, last week?
Yep.
And his answer was just like, eh. You know, you try to influence people, but, you know, you are at the – and every team is at the mercy of one person saying, man, I just can't handle this. I'm going to the Rona party bus or whatever these idiots are doing in downtown Nashville.
And, like, a lot of this conversation just boils down to the fact there's too many people in the NFL. I mean, like, in terms of putting a bubble-type scenario together. Like, it's one thing to take an NBA team or an NHL team. I mean, NBA team's got 12 guys, and you've got coaches, players, training staff, all that stuff. You're talking about, what, 40 guys maybe at that point? NFL, once you get training staff, coaching staff, front office, players, all these different parts involved, you're talking about like 150 people per team. It's just the sheer number of it makes it really daunting of a task
to try to put together a bubble type situation.
So let's see. So the NBA in Orlando has what would be the total number? They've got how many teams? They've got is it 24 like the NHL, or is that wrong? I might be wrong, but 20 some, yeah. About 20. And then you're talking about what per team? About 20,
yeah.
Right? If you taking everybody into account,
maybe 30, yeah.
So, okay, so maybe 500-600 people. I mean, this is easily looked up. I'll look it up. See, now, you could do in the NFL, and it's too late now, but you could have done regional bubbles. I mean, right. It doesn't matter. Maybe it will matter. In some places, we know it won't matter with fans, right? It depends on the state. Some we already know for sure. They're not going to have, like the Giants and Jets are not going to have fans yeah. ever. You know, some places might. But still, you could have done a regional bubble situation where you take eight teams and try to put, you know, but still, then how do you then, you know, work the schedule and have, as you said earlier, the competitive integrity? I mean, it was never really going to, and think about the cost of that too, over that period of time. This right. stuff is 2 months. This, we're talking about 4 months. It was never realistic. And so while I think anything that doesn't work, we're going to say, why didn't you have a better plan? So much of this is just these leagues being at the mercy of society, and American society has largely, not all around, but largely decided that they don't care about this virus.
When we come back, how worried are we about the MLB season being canceled? And also a really strange situation yesterday with the New York Mets. We'll get into that next. But first, we have two tickets for two parks for the price of one. That's two tickets for the price of one for Beach Bend and Splash and Lagoon Water Park that are on sale now. Go to thegamenashville.com and click on the Beach Bend Buy One, Get One free ad to purchase your tickets now for only $37.99. We'll be right back. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Players were furious because as part of his statement to our Carl Ravage, he mentioned the players have to do better, and that really angered the players. They felt like he was finger-pointing. John Lester of the Cubs, for example, responded, paraphrasing here, saying, hey, we're the ones who are taking the risk. But this is at the end of a week of finger-pointing from both sides. We had tweets from David Price, from Anthony Rizzo, calling into question parts of the health and safety protocol and whether safety was a priority. I can tell you behind the scenes, Major League Baseball Player Association, conversations all the time, they're working together. But this undercurrent of distrust and suspicion has been there all throughout this process, so different than the NBA and the NHL.
That was Buster Olney from ESPN talking about the dysfunction that is going on between the MLB and the MLBPA. Welcome back in to Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. And Joe, it's no secret, the MLBPA, not too fond of the MLB right now in terms of the negotiations that took place even before the season began and how hostile those were. And now, as we've seen the season be underway for almost 2 weeks at this point, the outbreak in COVID cases with the Marlins and the Cardinals and the Phillies resulting in the cancellation of games. It's just a mess right now with Major League Baseball. And it's a shame because when the games have actually taken place, I've really enjoyed watching them, probably to a level that, quite honestly, as a baseball fan, I just really haven't cared all that much about before. Like, I've always liked baseball. I played baseball for like 17 years growing up, so it's always been a big part of my life. But watching baseball, I've never really just gotten that into it, unless it's the playoffs. Like, a regular season, the people who watch regular season baseball every day, y'all are my heroes. Like, I don't know how you do it. And the people who get into like these really serious fantasy baseball leagues on a daily basis, like, I can barely keep up with my fantasy football team once a week, much less every day. So kudos to you all who are able to do this in the fantasy baseball world that we live in. I've actually enjoyed watching baseball this year, though, just because of the situation we're in and the lack of sports. But the more that I see this unfold, I'm very skeptical on whether or not they're going to be able to finish this season. I just am.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I think some people, if you have a team that's really good, I've been there where you're watching every day. But, yeah, if you're just watching baseball like that, you are dedicated. I could never do the fantasy baseball thing.
It hurts my head to even think about.
Yeah, and I will say that when it had the window by itself, I was like, give me this one. Flip over to this one. And look, now the NBA and NHL have frankly made it more expendable for me as I flip around with my remote. But, I mean, this thing is you're talking about, let's see, what, 17 games, I believe, in 10 days postponed. And Rob Manfred's like, we're good. We're pressing forward. Everything's fine. But, man, it is it's already a mess. And you've got four positive tests among the Cardinals. I guess only one's a player. But, you know, it's again, it's not just players. And it's also older people around these teams. Some of these managers are older. And this sport is – remember the idea of Arizona? Man, that was something that I think actually was feasible if you figured it all out.
Yeah, but that's on the players. Players turned that down. Well, they didn't want it.
And listen, that's the thing, too. That's the other part of this is that Manfred is going to be the villain here, and Manfred deserves a lot of criticism for a lot of different things. But baseball in particular stands out as a thing where both sides have been unimpressive and have contributed to where they are right now.
No question about it. Got a text in on the text line. If baseball cancels, do you think football will still try this fall?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Football's going to try.
Yeah, baseball can do whatever they want, and football's going to say, yeah, we're football. And again, that like, it's not the exact same situation. I mean, the one game a week, it's still travel for half the teams every week, so that's not great, but think about baseball and what you're talking about. Because it's this situation where they're playing in their empty home stadiums. Yay, got the scoreboard. Got concessions for no one. Got a press box. You guys sit 10 feet apart from each other. But because, you know, you hear the or whatever when a team score, you know, like
the animated, like the animatronic fans that Fox has put up there on their Saturday broadcast. It's freaky, man.
I'm going to say this. It's worse for the NBA. It looks awful.
Tell you what.
It looks awful.
I kind of like it just because I like whenever the camera pans to those fans, there's always something hilarious in there.
Yeah.
Like that. It's like, you
know. How long is it before something really bad happens on one of those fans zooming in? Like, like somebody just had a little bit too much Miller Lite.
Gesture.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul Pierce looked like that yesterday.
He
was on the Celtics, the Celtics game, wearing his Celtics gear on the little Zoom, and he just was like crouched down in his chair, sitting back, and I was just like, "Come on, man! Like, enough of these." There was one girl had her feet up, just chilling, just watching the game, just like it's not even happening, and yeah, people holding babies. He just got all kind of just crazy stuff.
I mean, it's kind of, at least, yeah, it makes it kind of interesting, you know. It's you want to look in there and see if you can find something. But yeah, with baseball, like they're all over the place, and they're traveling all the time. And even though the sport, and that's a very fair point to make, that the sport itself is mostly people standing apart, and you know, you get a first baseman and a base runner close to each other, and you get batter and catcher close to each other. But it's not football.
Now, catcher did get run over the other day. So they were really close to each other.
Yeah, so you get that every once in a while. You know, you get two outfielders banging to each other going for a fly ball. But, I mean, the sport itself maybe lends itself to avoiding the virus. But the baseball is unlike any other sport in the game after game after game, travel after travel after travel. Yeah. So, football, look, the Titans have put a lot of effort, and just like all the other teams, into creating a facility that is safe and distanced and clean. And, you know, I think they've probably done everything I could think of them doing. Even the dividers at the lockers, I wouldn't have thought of that. But, hey, why not? I mean, you know, that might help somewhere along the way. You just never know with this thing. It's why they have the no jersey thing after a game when they're smashing into each other. But it's just they're going to go. They're going to try. And I won't even be surprised if they finish the season but it's going to look weird at the end. I will be very surprised if everybody plays 16 games.
Sean Rourke from NHL.com joining us up next to begin the 8 o'clock hour when we dive back into some Preds talk. But, Joe, there was a really weird situation yesterday with the New York Mets. It came across yesterday morning that the Mets could not find Yoenis Cespedes, their outfielder. They put an APB out for his location in Atlanta. Like, nobody knew where he was. So apparently they go to his hotel room, and he's just gone. He's checked out. His bags are packed. He's out of the room. He's left and chose to opt out for the season without telling anybody. Just got up and left. This, in a way, reminds me of the Vic Beasley situation where, hey, like, communication is a pretty key aspect of the decisions you're going to make here. But also with Cespedes, if you followed him throughout his career, it really doesn't surprise me all that much that he pulled something like this. It was just, it's the most Mets thing I think I've ever seen to happen.
It's a very Mets thing. Very Mets thing. He left his agent to let everybody know, yep, he's out of here. So
just leaves in the middle of the day. He says, yeah, you know what? I play for the Mets. Not very good. I'm done with this. I'm going. And again, you don't blame a guy for opting out. Like, that's fine if you want to opt out. But tell somebody. Like, you got to let somebody know. You can't just leave.
Yeah, apparently his mom's sick, so
yeah,
I mean,
that's fine.
Perfectly reasonable, yeah, to opt out. But yeah, just do the, again, it's never been easier in the history of humanity to communicate with other humans. He's given up $4.07 million with incentives. He could have made $7.4 million.
Mm.
So leaving a lot of money on the table. Ill mother, all fine.
Gotta talk, man.
Send a text, buddy. Send a text.
Is there like a more, I don't want to say dumpster fire, but it kind of is, like a more of a dumpster fire organization in baseball than the New York Mets? Even though, like every few years they'll have like a relative amount of success, but they're just total dumpster fires. Like even like somebody like the Padres, like they're never any good, but they're just not relevant. Like it's not like they're just this total dumpster fire.
The Detroit Tigers are pretty crappy since Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, but that's recent, right?
Yeah,
they had a good run.
They had a very good run. Yeah. No, you're right. As far as payroll relative to performance combined with dysfunction, I can't think of. I mean, the Mets and the, there's a lot of people in New York, you know, like Mets and Jets fans go together, yeah, and Giants and Yankees fans. The Mets Jets fans, right,
it's got to be miserable. Just a miserable.
Oh,
time.
And then Knicks too.
Oh, man. You imagine if you're a Mets, Jets, and Knicks fan.
Hey,
like you probably didn't miss sports all that much.
You got the and if you're a Rangers fan too, because the Islanders won and the Rangers, yeah, lost. Man, that combo of fan right now, whew,
really struggling there in New York. When we come back, we'll dive back in to a little bit of Preds talk. Also touch on some other series around the NHL. Sean Rourke, our good buddy from NHL.com, will join us. That's next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.